This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
8:36 a.m. You're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana and Xiaoning. In half an hour, we have the opening bell where we check out how Bursa Malaysia begins the trading day. But before that, we are turning our attention to some interesting developments happening in terms of work arrangements in Singapore. Now, amidst the gradual recovery from COVID-19, we see that the prevalence of remote work, which really soared during the pandemic, it's now on the decline globally. But over in Singapore, starting from December 1st, employees will be able to seek a four-day work week, more remote work days, and staggered schedules in line with the increasing tendency of governments and companies to adjust office protocols to retain skilled workers.
Now, announced on April 16 by the Tripartite Alliance for Fair and Progressive Employment Practices, it's actually an agency established by Singapore's Ministry of Manpower, the new guidelines will empower employees to seek alternative arrangements, including flexible work location by year ends. Now, of course, the question is, what are the challenges that might arise in implementing these new flexible work policies? And what changes might we see in the traditional office environment and corporate culture in Singapore and maybe beyond?
Well, for some thoughts on this, we speak to Deepa George, Managing Consultant at MyHRC Services. Deepa, good morning. Always good to have you. What do you make of Singapore's official policy of flexible work arrangements? Do you think this can be successfully implemented across all sectors and industries?
Yeah, so I think there's been a lot of talk about this, but whether it can be implemented across all industries will still remain to be seen. I think we all know that things like manufacturing, hospitality, you know, service industry, even especially those related to crisis like hospitals or any emergency services, right? That cannot work because it involves physical work. The other thing is whether or not some of these companies, especially those in the medium size, maybe smaller ones, have the infrastructure to be able to support it. While it is a great principle to be able to support for long-term caregiving needs, that's the main premise behind this, I think that still remains to be seen on how it can be applied across all industries.
Deepa, what are the specific flexible work arrangements included in the Singapore guidelines and how do they compare to existing regulations in other countries such as Ireland and the UK?
So the principle basically is, first of all, it's for long-term requests. Okay, so this is not about the, hey, tomorrow, can I work from home boss kind of thing. So let's just be very clear about that. So in the UK, for example, in the past, they were only allowed to do one request, I think, in 1 year. Now they allow two requests. And the other thing is, in the past, it had to be, you know, responded within 3 months by the employer. Now they also have to respond within 2 months. So which means when an employee put in a request because they have a real need to caregive for, you know, one of their ailing family members, the employer has to respond to them. That's very similar to Singapore. In Ireland, an additional part to it is they have something called 13 days, I think, flexi leave, which is for different types of requirements like this in a year. Plus, the change to that, they've made it very clear you have to have 6 months continuous service in your company first before you start asking for this kind of benefits. And I think that's fair. Okay, so those are main differences. In Singapore, right now, there are three things they're looking at really, which is mainly because it's an aging population. I like the fact that they're looking at flexi place, meaning work from anywhere, flexi time, and what I think, which is interesting, we don't do enough in Asia, flexi load. Can it be a part-time role, job share with someone else, and so on. So that's really interesting.
But there's always the worry, right, that working remotely or on a flexible schedule will have an impact on productivity. So what kind of strategies can be employed to mitigate these concerns?
Yeah, I guess the impact, I mean, the reality is companies will be very hesitant to do this on a large scale. If you think about it, there's replacement costs for that duration, right? There is retraining cost for that duration as well. Before the person, even someone else takes over the work, because we're talking, remember, long term, not 1 day, 1 week. Who is going to be able to take on that role? So companies also have their own requirements for FTE, budget constraints and cost elements. So that's important. The other thing is in terms of the morale, this person is still working, but they're working from their home or from different location. So how do you also maintain that part of things and you make sure you get the most productivity? So I think first thing is to make sure that there is access to the tools. The company must be willing to invest to allow this person working from home or from whichever their location is, to have access to the infrastructure, the tools, the e-files, you know, all those things that are necessary. The other thing is the leaders must practice regular check-ins. So you can't just say you are the one who wanted, right, to work for 6 months. Obviously, it's because something happened. They have something going on in their life that needs this. So they're not happy about it, but they need the support. So regular check-ins. And I think it's good that if you get a list of not just the to-do list, but what I call an impact list, check in with the team member and see what they've done for the week, as opposed to what you must do every week. That sort of things. Those things can help.
So in the meantime, of course, there are going to be some potential pitfalls that companies might face in implementing these and managing also these flexible work arrangements. So how do you think these challenges can be mitigated proactively?
Yeah, I mean, I think the reality is, what is the employee's need? Where is the employee need coming from? So, for example, is it, different types of ailments that these people are going through in their home? Let's say it's for, again, I'm using health as the main reason for this. Is it a bedridden family member? Or is it somebody who just needs somebody there all the time, right? So in case they fall, in case there's two different type of things and different care. So the other pitfall will be in the office, or versus whether you're doing it at home, you can visibly see the work being done, the output. But if you want to say that you only look at output, it's not fair, because these people are struggling with how they do their work, i.e. the input, the processes they do. So one of the pitfalls is, how are you going to keep an eye that it's not just show me the money, show me the output, but also look at how much I did to be able to get to that. And then, like I go back to that, if it's a bedridden employee, family member, they don't need much care. They just need someone there at home, versus somebody else who is very ill and needs constant care every half an hour. So their job productivity will be affected as well. So we have to look at all those considerations.
Deepa, how do you think the availability of flexible work arrangements could change traditional approaches to evaluation and managing work performance? What adjustments are going to be necessary in terms of performance metrics and leadership styles to adapt to these changes?
So I wish I had the magic answer or magic pill for that. But to be honest, I think one is, this is we're in the age of technology. Do we optimize that? So can we use AI tools? So for example, there is a tool, I mean, it's not meant to be a plug for it, but Scribe is a tool that can do process flow mapping. And if you use that, imagine that a handover list, instead of having to write down, you know, do this and then go to this part of the computer, click right, Scribe can actually take into consideration your entire process flow of what you're doing, because it almost records it. So that becomes ready tools which can be used for business continuity. So that's one. Secondly is, why is it always work at office and get the employee to come to the office? I think it's time for maybe leaders can even get up and go once a month to the employee's home to visit them there and to find out how they're doing, have a check-in there. Even take a team, maybe have some makan minum with them, you know, if they're not stressed, and do the reverse. So instead of employee come to office, do something different and go to their house. And last but not least, like I mentioned earlier, is to make sure you're not just measuring the output, but also the input. Change the KPIs and the tools to really look at the result of what is achieved as a goal in terms of considering all the circumstances the employee went through. What are, even with those challenges, they were able to meet these needs. So your definition of performance ratings may need to change.
Now, do you believe that Malaysia should consider adopting flexible work arrangements? I mean, what insights can we learn from the experiences of other countries that have already implemented similar policies?
Okay, I think we're already starting to move in that. As you know, we also have this option where employees can write in to, you know, request a work from home. It doesn't have to be so long term, but, you know, written requests. I think if Malaysia wants to adapt it, are we ready? I can't answer, because I do know, for example, I feel strongly we're not ready for the 4-day week like some countries are trying. But at the moment, we need to share more success stories. So where employers are not losing out on productivity, not losing out on costs, but they're benefiting from staff morale, which ends up becoming happier employee and more productivity. So more success stories. The other thing is, I think this three-pronged approach, not just looking at flexi place and flexi time, but flexi load. If we can start looking more at that. Today, part-time options are still very little in Malaysia, except for very entry-level jobs, I would say. It's time for us to get a bit more creative and looked at higher-level senior positions also with job-sharing options, and hopefully that can work.
Deepa, thanks very much for speaking with us. That was Deepa George, Managing Consultant of MyHRC Services, talking to us about the flexible working arrangement policy that Singapore is instituting beginning December, and really the types of adaptations or the types of strategies that businesses will need to employ in order to make this work for all parties involved.
Actually, like what Deepa highlighted, in Malaysia, we can already apply for this under Section 60P and 60Q of the Employment Act 1955. So we can apply to our employers for flexible working arrangements based on time, days and the location of work. But the request needs to be submitted to employers for feedback within 60 days. And if they reject, they're supposed to give us reasons. How many people have actually written in?
How many people knew that this was an option, right?
Until Singapore announced it, I didn't know that it was an option here in Malaysia.
I mean, it's great. Now that this option is there, will there be more people who are actually able to exercise it? Because putting in a request is one thing, but do businesses, do they have the capacity to approve those requests? You know, are they providing that environment to allow for flexible work arrangements? So it's not really available if you know that your boss is going to say no from the get-go.
Yeah, and also when he says no, is there a kind of, she says no, whether there's a safe space in a way to negotiate this? Because you're so worried, if you put in this application, what does my company think of me?
Right.
Yeah. Will they think less of me? Will that impact my career progression? Will it impact my bonus, my eventual salary progression? All these come into mind. So when you say you as a country, you want to allow for flexible work arrangements, it cannot be to the detriment of the employee.
Right.
There has to be some fairness to it.
And I think we have to keep in mind why we're doing this, right? It's so that we can retain talent. It's that more people will be able to be part of the workforce in a way that works for everyone. It is coming up to 8:48 in the morning. We are going to go into some messages, but we'll come back to discuss recent developments in the semiconductor sector. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.